If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it would take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
I want to start off today's show by sharing with you a quote that I came across that was not so much startling, but put everything into context of what we're experiencing today. The quote is, "I believe that there is a widely mistaken interpretation of what is happening to us. We are suffering from the growing pains of over-rapid changes, from the painfulness of a readjustment between one economic period and another." Let me share with you that again. I believe that this is a widely mistaken interpretation of what is happening to us. We are suffering from the growing pains of over-rapid changes, from the painfulness of readjustment between one economic period and another. Now, I don't know about you, but this is what I've been reading every day in the paper through stories of new technologies and new innovations and new medical breakthroughs, all the changes that we are constantly facing. The success of technology innovation is forcing a rapid change on all of us. And look, I'm in this game. I've been in this game full time for my entire career, and I'm struggling just to even keep up with what all the new stuff is. I could spend hours a day just trying to track the latest and greatest newest things coming out. What's interesting, though, is this quote that I just shared with you was from 1930 from John Maynard Keynes, the world-famous economist. And he was talking about the cause of the Great Depression. Now, you could pick up this quote and you could apply it through all of societal history. You can go back to the Industrial Revolution, when there was these big gyrations and changes as things became mechanized. So factories got put in place, the role of steam and automation, and people who used to be in the agricultural sector of the economy all of a sudden being displaced with machines. We are talking about really these kinds of changes, and the rapid adoption of innovations can be overwhelming for society. Think about it. The iPhone is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. And just think about the impact that it's had on society. And keep in mind that the iPhone wasn't even really the first smartphone. You know, it spawned a whole rash of copycat products. And the role of the smartphone plays in how we communicate. It's no longer using the phone for its initial purpose of making a voice call. It's all of the other applications and the way we communicate and the way we share and the way we stay in touch, the way we get our news, all has been transformed. Society has adapted itself to the adoption of these new innovations and these new technologies. And that is what we're going to talk about today. It's this impact of once we adopt a new technology, a new innovation, how does society adapt? And what is the role of the innovator of thinking about this adaption? How do you adapt to these new technologies? Now, in this case, we've seen just a rash of these new technologies that we're facing today. There's a big discussion about artificial intelligence, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? Autonomous vehicles, the commercialization or privatization of travel to space, the potential mission to Mars from SpaceX, all these types of things which we had never would have anticipated 10 years ago. We are now facing them as a society, and how do we adapt? Adaption is how we, society, and communities adapt to how we use these new innovations and these new technologies. It happens over time. We first adopt, and then we adapt. Society, businesses, governments are absorbing and trying to adapt to these new ever-changing landscapes, technologies, innovations. But in most cases, the adoption is what is driving how we adapt. Think about it from an Uber and Lyft and its impact on the taxi industry. The change and transformation that it has had from the standpoint of forcing entire industries into either restructuring or no longer being relevant. But these adoptions also have some form of unintended consequences. So look, in the cities where Uber and Lyft are prevalent, fewer and fewer people are buying vehicles. Why do you need to buy a car when you can call an Uber and very quickly get from point A to point B? And when you added up all the costs, it still is cheaper than buying a car, paying for the insurance, maintaining it, all those kinds of things. And so these adoptions of new technologies have these unintended consequences when society adapts to it. Online retail is another one, right? You look at Sears, JCPenney, there are 1,000 retail companies on the financial watch list for possible bankruptcies because of the disruption of online retail. Rather than getting up and going to a store and buying something, ordering it online and having it delivered to your front step. Now, quite honestly, the ones creating these new technologies and innovations don't give a care for the companies they leave behind. We, as innovators, tend to reward disruption. Wow, so-and-so came up with something really great, and they totally disrupted an industry and laid their competitors, down. They just totally dominated and wiped them out. Now, the question is should they? Should innovators really care about the disruptions they cause? Should they just worry about how things are adopted? Or should we as innovators think about how society will adapt to these new technologies and what the long-range impact is going to be? Now, in my case, I went through this in the late 70s, going into the early 80s with both my father and my father-in-law, who both worked or related to or were part of businesses related to the steel industry in northeastern Illinois, northwestern Indiana, Gary Hammond, where the big U.S. steelworks were located at. Now, information technology and new innovations came in that basically wiped out the U.S. steel industry back in the late 70s and early 80s. Did those people who were inventing those innovations think about the impact or how to help society adapt? No, they were worried about the disruption. So it was the Japanese, what they called mini mills, that came in and wiped out the U.S. Big production, big steelwork operations. Did they care? No. Should they? I don't know. And that's really what I want to talk about today. And I'm interested in getting your thoughts and your feedback on this, because I think as innovators, we just can't wipe our hands and just not think about it. We need to spend a little bit of time about how this, whatever this innovation is that I'm creating, how will society need to adapt, or how could society adapt, both for good, but also maybe not so good? How do I think about possible unintended consequences for the innovation? I'm not saying then don't introduce it. What I'm saying is if we think about it a little bit, can we help society be prepared for these disruptions that are coming into the marketplace, rather than just think of it as a hand grenade? I've pulled the pin, I throw the hand grenade into society and let the chips fall where they will. So the question comes down to is, should the impact on the companies, their shareholders, their employees play a role in the strategy for these new upstarts? What about government protectionisms of jobs and roles, like taxis or union jobs or whatever? The governments quickly try to, their way to adapt is to put protectionism up. And is that a good thing? I actually would argue not, but we'll talk more about that. You know, so for example, on the Uber and Airbnb, finding themselves fighting the local and state governments in an attempt to kind of protect constituents' jobs and communities, or should they just recognize that adoption and the adaption of innovations and technology is just part of the circle of life, and they should just let it happen? You know, as it's reinforced in the John Maynard Keynes quote, it's happened before, and it will happen again. This isn't the last cycle we're going to go through, right? And most of us thinking, you know, look, in the 80s, when I was the young entrepreneur with a bunch of startups, I did 13 startups before I got to my first IPO, right? We were all out there, we're going to disrupt, thinking, okay, yeah, my dad didn't adapt. He was an old fogey. He couldn't make the transition into the new technologies. Okay, now I'm an older boomer. I'm in my mid to late 50s, right? And I think of myself as being pretty tech savvy, but you can see some of these transitions that are coming that even if you think you're going to be able to make those changes, you're not when these cycles come and go. So it's going to happen. It's happened throughout society in the past. It's happening now, and it's going to continue to happen. And as innovators, we need to take some form of responsibility to think about the impact on society. How is society going to adapt to the innovations, to the technologies that we are going to introduce to the marketplace? So again, that is what the topic for today's show is going to be. So hang in there. Let's have this conversation. And I look forward to hearing your feedback at the end of the show. So stay right there. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens. And musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction, Hope, and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 1-800-533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Before we hop back into today's show, I just want to do a quick shout-out to one of our sponsors. Zoom has been a sponsor for this show for over 2 years. It's a tool that we've been using every day to keep our team connected from all over the world. We use it both with the radio show, how we bring guests in to do the interviews, but also it's how we connect to our teams scattered out all over. And in my day job as a CEO for a research and development lab, it's a way that we keep our team together, knowing all the projects and going on, no matter where you are in the organization. So check it out. Best video, best audio, and by far the best collaboration technology. Zoom's mission is to make you and your team happy. Keep the friction down to allow you to do better work, better collaboration. So check it out, killerinnovations.com/Zoom. Get you a free account with up to 50 video collaborators being able to engage and participate in the work that you're doing. So check it out, killerinnovations.com/Zoom to get your free account. So let's continue on our conversation around adoption and adapting to those new innovations and new technologies. I want to focus this segment of the show talking about social networks. Just think about how quickly social networks such as Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram have taken over as the new norm when it comes to how we communicate. Now, I've seen it with my own kids, starting with AOL Messenger. Now, my kids were teens and preteens when the whole AOL phenomenon, when we all got flooded with all those CDs. And I saw how it was changing their friends and how they communicated. Now, it starts off with just really typing in what you would normally say on the phone, the ability to have conference calling, so a bunch of people all engaged simultaneously. And it also, it did allow for better communications with friends and family, staying connected over long distances, a little less intrusive of having to pick up the phone call, being able just to use these new social media platforms. And again, messaging platforms, social media platforms, I'm kind of lumping them all together. Now, some of these changes, though, that has driven some of this is this willingness to overlook the concept of privacy. You know, you're putting things out there. When you say something into a phone, odds are it was not going to be recorded. But everything you type, whether it's a text message, an AOL instant message, all the way through to the social media platforms of today, is kept for posterity. People can cut and paste it, keep copies of it, and therefore you basically have your entire audit of things that you communicate being preserved somewhere. Now, what has been driving some of this social media bandwagon? Well, one is people saw what it could do just from the standpoint of improving communication. But it's also, I'm going to argue, a little bit of what I would call FOMO, fear of missing out. Every time there's a new social media platform that gets launched out there, everybody is rushing to get onto that platform and to try it out. You don't want to be that person at the party or at the office where someone says, hey, have you seen this new social media platform? And you don't want to be the person that goes, well, no, what is it? I didn't know anything about it. What is this thing all about? So it's this kind of driver for everybody to kind of try to stay up on what's new. So FOMO has part of this drive of this herd mentality of everybody's got to drive onto the new social media platforms. It also gets driven a little bit by generations, right? Facebook started off as kids in college. And then, you know, people's aunts, uncles, and parents and grandparents then took over Facebook. So what do the kids do? They move over to Snapchat and they're taking on the Snapchat applications. And that'll happen again. Now you're seeing adults hopping over onto Snapchat and brands are on Snapchat trying to use it as a messaging platform. They tell their brand stories and the kids are going to move off to something completely different. And so this is kind of this whole drive of adoption, the adoption and the acceleration of adoption for the social medias. Now, the real question is how has society had to adapt? Well, just the sheer number of people on the social networks, the redefining of friends and family. What's a friend and what's family now in social media circles? I've got people that I've connected to on Facebook and LinkedIn who I've never met in person, yet I'm seeing pictures of their kids or their grandkids' birthday parties being posted. Things you would never have shared pre kind of this whole social media, but now it's kind of socially accepted with a much broader definition of, quote, I am a friend of somebody, when in reality you've never met, you've never even had a meal together, you've never met face to face, but, quote, they are a friend. We've adapted. And it's also the social acceptance of sharing, how much we share, our willingness to share, the kind of information we share, marital statuses, whether you're going through a divorce or separation or, you know, struggles and people being posting those up there. The level of sharing that the society now has adapted itself to with the adoption of social media. It's also measuring status. You're measuring status by how many followers do you have? How many Twitter followers do you have? How many Facebook? How many LinkedIn? Right? We're using numbers as a reinforcement that people like me because of how many followers I have. And again, we're adapting. And also the ability to skip the middleman when it comes to information. Do I trust my friends and the information that they're sharing online more than other sources, such as the traditional news sources of the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, whoever? And so, you know, the question becomes then with this social media and I'm relying on my friends to kind of think like me and feed me information is what becomes the role of the news media? Now, the real question is what is the impact on society? The level of sharing online is beyond what most people would ever say in person. We'll say things that we would just never say face-to-face because we have that protection behind the application. We'll say political discourse, cyberbullying, and trust me, cyberbullying is not just about kids in school, but I've seen cyberbullying actually play itself out in the professional realm, even on LinkedIn, but also on Facebook, etc., where people will pile on and use social media to bully or intimidate other people. And exploitation. It redefines trust. What is trust? In a social media world, we've adapted to this whole concept of trust. And also, what's the difference between real and fake? Now, the ultimate question is could we have predicted these changes? As innovators, could we have predicted the fact that we're going to build up these networks and people are going to have this new level of sharing and conversation, could we have predicted things like the emergence of fake or false or misleading news, cyberbullying, exploitation, intimidation? And what would be the role of innovators? Should we or should we not look beyond kind of that horizon to try to figure out what some of these unintended consequences will be from the innovations that we delivered? Or do we just pull the pin on the hand grenade, throw it into society, and let the chips fall where they fall? I'm arguing that we do have a responsibility as innovators to think about the unintended consequences. And we're going to continue this conversation through the rest of the show, so don't go anywhere. You want to be part of this. I'm interested in hearing your feedback. So stay right there. We'll come right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. Before we hop into this segment of the show, I just want to do a quick shout-out for another one of our sponsors, which is HP. HP joined sponsoring the show, a couple of months ago, in support of providing us the technology into the new studio here in Colorado. This studio has been based on all new HP gear. Now, you're going to say, hold on, Phil, you had a relationship with HP before. Yes, I was the chief technology officer at HP for almost 10 years. Been gone for about 4 or 5 years. They've come back and actually reached out, and we've put together this sponsorship. Now, the sponsorship is not about driving money into the show. I've been funding this now for 13 years out of my own pocket to make this content available to you free of charge. With the sponsorships like HP and like Zoom, it allows us to free up the money to put into our nonprofit activities, which is things like Hacking Autism, an organization that actually got started at HP, and HP graciously allowed me to take it out and turn it into a 501c3 charity, along with Pioneer Education Africa, the schools that we are currently building in Africa. So the funds that come in free up those dollars now to be applied to the nonprofit. So we greatly appreciate it. If you want to check out some of the HP gear that we are actually using here in the studio, like a Z2 mini workstation and an HP Slice and other devices, you can go over to killerinnovations.com/HP. Check out the devices. You can actually see the specs and you can actually find out more information. If you do engage with HP, whether it's a small business, large business, or a consumer, let HP know where you heard about us from, that you heard about it from here at the Kill Innovation Show. All the support that we can give to the sponsors helps them support our work and support the charity nonprofits. So let's continue on our conversation around adoption and then adapting. What happens to society when a technology or an innovation starts to get this groundswell of adoption? Now, what I want to talk about in this segment of the show is around e-commerce, another example, or online shopping. The impact started with big box retailers, the Walmart, Costco, Sam Clubs, and how they impacted small retail merchants. You know, towns tried to prevent Walmart and all of them from coming into their community. They were going to wipe out the mom-and-pop grocery store or bookstores or whatever. So there was this big fight to prevent the big-box retailers. Now, the big-box retailers are being disrupted. So they came in, they disrupted the little guys in these communities. Now Amazon is coming in and disrupting their business. They're doing to the big box retailers what the big box retailers did. Now, this is an innovation. It's an innovation in business model. It's an innovation in supply chain logistics. It's a disruption, and disruptions can be pretty jarring. And in effect, not only are they wiping out the big box guys or putting them into a big hurt, but they're also finishing off taking out a lot of the small retailers. So I talked about in the opening of the show, there are 1,000 retail outlets that are currently on the financial watch list, meaning they are at financial risk for going bankrupt. These range from companies such as Sears and JCPenney, you name it. There's lots of them. You look at all the sports stores that have gone out of business, the bookstores that have gone out of business, clothing stores that are going out of business. We've adopted. We like the convenience of going to one place, buying in bulk, and getting a big discount. That's what drove the big box retailers. Now, we like the convenience of shopping online, the ability to order it. And if you are a premium customer, you get these special programs where you get free shipping. You get all this benefit. Don't even have to even leave your home. Shows up at your doorstep and also gives you the that convenience. Now, for the longest time, you didn't have to even pay sales tax. So you actually had the advantage of getting it at a cheaper price because Amazon buys even a larger bulk than the big box guys do. And they weren't subject to local sales tax. So as adoption for online buying started to accelerate, then we had to adapt. In this case, governments had to step in, state, local governments around taxing authority and how do you tax companies like Amazon. Otherwise, you know, local tax revenue base in small towns, even larger towns, start to be heavily impacted. Now, Amazon has caught itself kind of in this grind and is now actually working it out to start paying some level of the taxes that are due that the local merchants have to pay. So therefore, kind of leveling the playing field. Adoption got out way ahead, people hopping on Amazon, and now governments are needing to adapt. Now, some businesses, small businesses, medium businesses, even larger ones, have gotten onto this bandwagon. Rather than letting this disruption totally destroy them, they got on the bandwagon. So there are entire businesses that are using what's called FBA or Fulfilled by Amazon. So if you've got a product or something that you're selling, you can actually warehouse it at Amazon. People buy it on Amazon. An Amazon person takes it off the shelf, sticks it in a box, in an Amazon box, puts a label on it and sells it. It's your inventory, but it's fulfilled. You can also host your store at Amazon where someone buys it, you get the order, you stick it in the box, and you sell it. So rather than just letting the steamroller crush their businesses, they are adapting their business models, how to reach customers by taking advantage of what Amazon has actually put in place. Now, large and small retailers, however, have not adapted. Not everybody has jumped onto this bandwagon. And as a result, their businesses are being severely, severely impacted as a result. Now, like I said, there's this rash of recent articles of the impact on malls and shopping districts and tax base, you know, impact. But in some cases, if you lived rural and you didn't have access to a store anyways, this actually solves a problem. Rather than driving 2 hours or 3 hours to get to retail, you can now order and have it shipped. Talk to the people in Alaska and what they've enjoyed from the ability to buy things on Amazon. Now, this has had a significant society impact. Given that retail is one of the largest employers, it's having a significant impact on pockets of society. You take out these big box retailers or even brand retail chains because of the risk of bankruptcy, it starts impacting the employment numbers. Now, we all state in surveys that we want to buy green, we want to support local retailers, but when we actually go out and buy, we buy on price. We say one thing in surveys, price dictates. Now, I'm not saying buying on price is a bad thing. We're all looking for value. And in some cases, we've created a vicious circle by where large swaths of the population are in lower paying jobs, and thus they must purchase on price, which then begins the circle all over again. We just need to stop being hypocrites and saying what we want X and we do Y. We buy on price. Price and time are the two biggest motivators for innovation. Can I save you time? Can I give you some convenience? In this case, ordering online and having it arrive. And can I give you good price? Can I give you good value for the dollars? Yes. That's always going to be the key drivers for innovation. Time and money. Now, could we have predicted these changes? Could we have had some forethought thinking about what the impact to these kinds of innovations on online retail? And could we have thought about what the adaptations were going to be needed, whether it be government and taxing authorities or jobs and alternative job creations, et cetera, to kind of smooth society as we adapt these innovations? Now, smooth doesn't mean slow. Things don't slow down. We're still going to be operating at these frantic paces, but how do we slow, not so much slow it down, but how do we smooth our ability to adapt? And if we as innovators think beyond just simply disrupting and really think about, you know, what are some of these unintended consequences that are going to happen from innovations and these disruptions, we can actually help actually improve and accelerate the adoption. If people see not only the benefit, but also understand what the consequences are, and we think about it ahead of time, we can plan for it. We can actually help people adapt much more smoothly than just waiting for the disruption and the throwing up of our arms and hands and doing the woe is me. I argue that as innovators, us just sitting here and, you know, launching the disruption and not caring about the unintended consequences is just not right. We as innovators, if we're working on disruptions, need to think about these unintended consequences and how do we help individuals, organizations, companies, governments, society adapt to these innovations. Take advantage of the great things these innovations bring, but do it eyes wide open, not just wait to see what the consequences fall out at the other end. So with that, we're going to take yet another quick commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to wrap this all up in a conclusion and talk about what I think some of us, what's the role of us as innovators should be and what role we could play in thinking about these unintended consequences and the impact on society. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
I think we would all agree that the pace of new innovations, new technologies, continues to accelerate. It is not going to slow down. Now, I'm in the middle of building a second studio so that I can be more mobile and still keep up with my show obligations. And as we're speccing the equipment, now I just built the studio last December, the one that we're broadcasting from in Colorado. So as I'm building out this new studio, new devices are coming out that supersede things I just bought in December. And as I'm getting ready to spec a new device, within 30 days, a newer one is out, a better one is out. I can't keep up even with this pace of change that continues to happen. Now, those of us in the innovation game are motivated to get these new things adopted as quickly as possible. We want to have impact. The whole role of being an innovator is to have positive impact on people's lives, make their lives better, make them save, you know, get some, you know, better value, maybe reduce the cost of something because we can make it cheaper, smaller. We can make things do things that you just never thought were available. You know, I'm all excited about autonomous vehicles because now I gain the 45-minute commute to be productive to do something else other than sitting behind and driving in a steering wheel and getting frustrated with rush hour traffic. We're, as innovators, we look to try to have change, positive impact in people's lives. And to do that, we need to bring those things in. We need to get them adopted. Is, you know, as I've said many a time, an idea without execution is a hobby. And I'm not in the hobby business. I'm in the business of getting those innovations, those technologies into people's hands. Now, we need to recognize that it's not all just about adoption, but how we as individuals and teams and organizations, society, adapt to these new technologies. How do we think about the change that it imposes on people's lives? How do we adapt them in ways that the innovators just never anticipated? Now, you know, with this putting together today's show, it's kind of forced me to take a step back. I've never really have sat back and thought about what were the unintended consequences of some of the innovations and some of the technologies that we brought forward. You know, years ago in the early 90s, we were launching the very first GSM wireless carrier in the United States, OmniPoint in New York. And part of what my team, we were working on was the very first prepay technology to now, so you would go into a store, you could put $100 down on a prepaid card, and then when the $100 was used up, you went back in, you prepaid, your phone was turned back on. Now, we thought it was all going to be great because it allowed for a part of society who couldn't pass the credit check or didn't have a means of proving employment, etc., to be able to get mobile services. Prior to that, they couldn't get mobile services at all. Unless you could qualify for the credit check in the early 90s, you couldn't get a cell phone. So this was going to open up this great new communications technology to people who just never had access to it before. What we didn't anticipate as an unintended consequence, though, was all the people who do bad things, right? So you could blame me and my team for launching this whole concept of burner phones. You buy a phone, you put a minimum minutes on it, it doesn't have an account to it, so you can't subpoena it, you can't identify who actually has the phone, there's no identification that attaches the individual to the phone, an unintended consequence. Now, should we have anticipated that? Yeah, you could have argued we should have thought about that, but we didn't. We didn't take the time to think about all the possible unintended consequences. And that's what I'm saying here is as innovators, our work on our innovation doesn't stop at the adoption. We need to think about how society, individuals, teams, organizations, governments, the world as a whole, how we will adapt to whatever innovation. In this case, prepaid phones, great for opening up a segment in society, giving them access to a technology they would never have. With the unintended consequences of the illegal activities that same capability allowed somebody else to do, which has led to all kinds of law enforcement issues. But the path from adoption to the adaptation that society takes is not clear. And the impact may not always be so obvious. So the real question is so what are we to do? Well, we can't stop at adoption. We need to take that extra step. And every innovation project I'm working on going forward, and I would encourage you for every innovation project that you're thinking about going forward is think about how others will have to adapt, how society will need to potentially adapt if it's a true game changer, if you're totally going to disrupt. Don't let yourself or society be surprised by how it's adapted, how it's forced to change. If you think about social media and fake news and all those kinds of things that we've experienced through the most recent election cycle I'm an employee at a big box retailer and all of a sudden my job's at risk because Amazon's coming in and wiping out my business. We need to think through the impacts, the change, the adaptation that we're forcing with these disruptions. So get ahead of the curve and help others get the full advantage of what it is you're creating by seeing what's coming and how to adapt. Just don't throw your hands up. Take ownership. We as innovators, if we're developing those disruptions, we need to help people to adapt. Now, hopefully you found this topic interesting. Maybe it's challenged you to think a little differently about how you think about the innovation projects you're working on. I would love to hear your feedback. Post a comment in the show notes over at killerinnovations.com or drop me an email, phil@killerinnovations.com. If you want to be part of the conversation around this and other kinds of topics on a much deeper basis, join the community. It's theinnovators.community, theinnovators.community. Hop on over. There's a landing page, gives you all the information of how to become a member of the community. It's a private Slack community of innovators coming together to talk about all the things we're working on. So you want to check that out. So again, hop on over, show notes at killerinnovations.com, and become part of the conversation over at theinnovators.community. With that, we're going to wrap this up. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen. And all I ask is that as we do this as a way of paying it forward, that you pay it forward by telling others about the show. And so with that, hope you have a great week. Don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. Go out and change the world. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.